On this lovely day, we're going to ask Deacon Sullivan to open us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here, and we ask your blessing today to discern what you would have us learn from your word. And we praise you for being a model father, Lord, on this Father's Day. We thank you for all the good fathers that you've sent our way. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, O God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Thank you, Joe. Well, I'd like to start with a joke today. I'm not the greatest jokester, mind you, but who knows why the belt got arrested? Why did the belt get arrested?
Okay.
Not wearing a pair of pants?
For holding up a pair of pants. And by the way, I know today is the 17th of June, 2018. I look at Rich because you usually, I give the wrong date and you
said... Last week you said the 7th. I didn't... I know. I figured we were right past it.
I know, I appreciate that. I thought afterwards, as I look on your face, but today I know what day it is. It's the 17th. And it's an interesting... week in many respects. Of course, today is the 243rd anniversary of Bunker Hill, which, of course, there are parades and so forth going on there today, and it's very unusual that it should be also on Father's Day. And, of course, this week, summer begins on the 21st, although it seemed like it started earlier than that. And of course, this week also, as you probably recall, was Flag Day. And of course, Elizabeth Betsy Ross is often credited with having created the first American flag, but according to history, there's no official evidence of that. So I just want to mention that the first Flag Act was signed by Continental Congress on June 14, 1777. Resolved that the flag of the United States be made of 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field representing a new constellation. And another thing that's probably worth recording from history, you might say, is how did we end up having Father's Day? Today we look into the history of Father's Day. Sadly, retailers and marketers, in an effort to make a quick buck, have sort of bastardized the original meaning of Father's Day, a holiday that was supposed to honor Dad and enumerate his special qualities, now is used to sell chili pepper ties and shop vacs. Hopefully, by understanding why the concept of Father's Day was created, we can better celebrate and honor the fathers who raised us into men or women, as the case may be. There are two stories of when the first Father's Day was celebrated. According to some accounts, the first Father's Day was celebrated in Washington State on June 19, 1910. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd came up with the idea of honoring and celebrating her father while listening to a Mother's Day sermon at church in 1909. She felt as though mothers were getting all the acclaim while fathers were equally deserving of a day of praise. She would probably be displeased that Mother's Day still gets the lion's share of the attention. Sonora's dad was quite a man. William Smart, a veteran of the Civil War, was left a widower when his wife died while giving birth to their sixth child. He went on to raise the six children by himself on a small farm in Washington. To show her appreciation for all the hard work and love William gave her and her siblings, Sonora thought there should be a day to pay homage to him and other dads like him. She initially suggested June 5th, the anniversary of her father's death, to be designated to celebrate Father's Day, but due to some bad planning, the celebration in Spokane, Washington, was deferred to the third Sunday in June. The other story of the first Father's Day in America happened all the way on the other side of the country in Fairmont, West Virginia, on July 5th, 1908. Grace Golden Clayton suggested to the minister of the local Methodist church that they hold services to celebrate fathers after a deadly mine explosion killed 361 men. While Father's Day was celebrated locally in several communities across the country, the unofficial support to make the celebration a national holiday began almost immediately. Actually, William Jennings Bryant was the one of his staunchest proponents. 1924, President Calvin, Silent Cal they called him, Coolidge, recommended that Father's Day become a national holiday, but no official action was taken. In 66, Lyndon Baines Johnson, through an executive order, designated the third Sunday in June as the official day to celebrate Father's Day. However, it wasn't until 1972, during the Nixon administration, that Father's Day was officially recognized as a national holiday. Mm-hmm. Now, you may think that Father's Day is only celebrated in America, but the truth of it is, other countries also picked up on the idea of Father's Day. While many followed suit by celebrating it on the third Sunday in June, some decided to honor Dad on different dates. So to make sure you know when to pay your respects to dear old Dad, wherever you may be, here's a list of dates Father's Day is celebrated across the world. March 14th in Iran. March 19th, Bolivia, Honduras, Italy, Liechtenstein, Portugal, Spain. May 8th, South Korea. First Sunday in June, Lithuania. Second Sunday in June, Austria, Ecuador, and Belgium. Third Sunday in June, Antigua, Bahamas, Bangladesh, Bulgaria, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Colombia, Cuba, Cyprus, Czech Republic, France, Greece, Guyana, Hong Kong, India, Ireland, Jamaica, Japan, Malaysia, Malta, Mauritius, Mexico, Netherlands, Pakistan, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Philippines, Puerto Rico, St. Vincent, Singapore, Slovakia, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Switzerland, Trinidad, Turkey, United Kingdom, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. June 17th, El Salvador and Guatemala. June 23rd, Nicaragua, Poland, Uganda. Second Sunday in July, Uruguay. Last Sunday in July, Dominican Republic.
I got that.
Thank you. Second Sunday in August, Brazil. August the 8th, Taiwan and China. August 24th, Argentina. First Sunday in September, Australia, New Zealand. New Moon of September in Nepal. First Sunday in October, Luxembourg. Second Sunday in November, Estonia, Finland, Norway, Sweden, December 5th, and Thailand. The Father's Day, so this Father's Day, don't just buy Pops a crappy world best mug, Dad mug. Write him a card expressing some of the things you love and admire about him. Nothing mushy, just tell him that you're glad to be his son or daughter. So there you go. I took the time to read that. Now, Cameron, are you ready to recite back the name of those countries? You want to get the globe out and find that?
Taiwan, Luxembourg.
No, but I was thinking Dad could use that as an advantage for all the vacations.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, there's a lot of dates, and you could be booked up the whole month of June to August.
For sure.
A lot of traveling.
Well, today being Father's Day, we want to look at the scriptures concerning a variety of things concerning Father's Day. I want to set for us as a theme, if you will, Father's Day, the Father's Way. Father's Day, the Father's Way. And if you look at Psalm 46:10, just that verse, 46:10 of the book of Psalms, which is on page 780 in my copy of the Bible. So Psalm 46:10. When you've got it, just say amen. Amen. Good. Psalm 46:10, I'm reading from the English Standard Translation. 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now I chose to read that short verse, those two verses, 10 and 11, because it gives us an idea when, with the message we're working on here, Father's Day, the Father's way, that the issue is by studying Scripture as a father, you find out the way our Heavenly Father is, and we do our best to imitate our Heavenly Father as the Holy Spirit enables us to do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us your word and revealing yourself to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher as we continue to look through the Scriptures on this Father's Day 2018. And we look forward, those of us that are fathers and grandfathers, to be better fathers, to be better grandfathers, in the example you have set for us. And this we pray in Christ's name, our Lord. Amen. So as we celebrate Father's Day, we're mindful of our earthly fathers. Most of us have many fond memories of our fathers, how they loved and cared for us and protected us, worked hard to support and educate us, and gave us good things. But we have a greater Father, our Father God in heaven. Consider these facts. We had no choice to be born. No choice of our parents, no choice of our gender, no choice of our ethnicity and citizenship, and no choice of when in history we would be living. God made all these choices for us, and even as has a greater plan for us if we obey him and learn about his plans for us. This is the reason why we study the Bible and search the Scriptures, to learn of God's great love for us. God said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's in Jeremiah 29:11. We will see below, or in the future, the further things we're going to study today, we will see that only as believers in Jesus Christ can we call God our Father and have this privileged life with him forever. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a short chapter. We're going to read through the whole chapter. There are actually 16 verses in the chapter. So, who would like to be readers today? Okay, so we've got two. Who else? Sean's going to be a reader. Cameron's going to be a reader. Good. So we've got four readers and 16 verses, so every one of you can read four verses. And we'll start with...
All right, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the English Standard Version, verses 1 through 4. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
Good. Sean, go ahead.
I'm reading from the New English Standard Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8.
Okay.
So that by your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8.
Good. Leah.
Continuing on, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 from the English Standard Version. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 from the English Standard Version.
Okay, Cameron, you're up.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16 in the New Living Translation. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from a human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? We understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16.
Good job. And I can be rightfully proud of that 11-year-old, or are you 12 years old now? That's right, 12 years old. Young man, because I remember sitting him on my knee and having him read the Bible. It was always very funny when he'd take his finger and he'd trace it on. I'd say, "What is that? What does that spell?" And he goes, "Holy Bible, Holy Bible." So, I mean, I think back today, you know, on my father, as we're mindful of our earthly fathers. Most of us have fond memories of our fathers. Many of us also have not so fond memories. And there are some people who don't have any memories at all because maybe they didn't know their father at all. The father left the family, or the father died when the kids were young, or something like that. So, I mean, like any of the celebrations we have, whether it be Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, whatever, Christmas, whatever, sometimes those are hard times for a lot of people because of the circumstances of their lives, that, you know, they hear these platitudes or hear these nice things. I think about the fact that my father became a father a lot younger than I did. My dad was basically 22 years old when I was born. And I think back when I was 22, was I prepared to be a father? No. I mean, obviously many people are, because of it happens, but are you prepared for it? I mean, in most cases, that young? No. But we get help from the Holy Spirit teaching us, and this is part of what the scriptures have educated us to here with the help of the Holy Spirit, particularly as I look at the verse number 9, which I've always been very fond of this verse. What no eye has seen or ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I also had quoted Jeremiah 29:11, which, let me remind us of that. That for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Well, the same thing here. What God has prepared for those who love him. Now, when we understand that this is who our Heavenly Father is, this is what he wants to do for us. And, you know, I like to believe that our earthly fathers would be that way too, and sometimes they have been. You know, in talking to people as I have through so many years of ministry, I've heard some good stories and things, and I think about my father. I mean, I have some things that it's probably not too good to remember that he did or did to me. But there are a lot of things that he did for me in providing for me, for protecting me. I mean, there's no doubt about that. When I was a kid, though I was pretty able of taking care of myself for the most part, anyone that touched me or hurt me like that, my father went after them. And I saw my father pick people up off the ground and threaten them because they had harmed me. You know, so, I mean, from that standpoint, though he was very young, he did understand a father's role in protecting his children. And, of course, I look back on when I was a father, still a father, but when I was raising the children, and I think I used to say it, look, you can do whatever you want to me and call me whatever you want, and that's probably not going to go very well, but don't anybody touch my wife or my children. You know, and the idea, I enjoyed raising the children. I was glad to be a father, though I was a lot older than my father was when he became a father. And so I think about that, of my experience, and I know the frustrations that I had. And concerns that I had, and what helped me. And this I can give as advice to any father, for that matter, any grandfather, whatever, is I found the help I needed, the direction I needed in the scriptures by studying my Heavenly Father. And I remember speaking at an event a long time ago where a guy came up to me and he says, you know, I'd like to be a good father. I've got a young son. But I really, you know, I didn't have much of a father myself. He said, I just don't know how to do it. What should I do? I said, two things. Number one, you need to study the scriptures, everything about where you see the word father in scripture. And I said, once you've done that, then you need to also come beside somebody who, as scripture says, even for mothers, you know, mothers learn from older women how to love their husbands. Well, learn from some of the older men who are experienced fathers. I mean, it's not something you just know how to do just on your own. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, just the same thing in marriage. You know, it doesn't happen. A good marriage doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. And so the thing that always touched my heart was to think, okay, my dad would write me a little note, like when I was way at the military academy, and in particular, he'd write me short notes. Didn't say much, but he said, love, Dad. You know, and that meant a lot to me, to get that and just read it. I mean, it was just a short paragraph. My dad was not a person of many words, and it was. And he you just thought, love Dad. And that meant a lot to me because I believed that he did love me. Even though the things that he did that was not right, those were issues that he had. And of course, how many of us realize or don't realize that, you know, our parents have issues? And so this guy that I was giving that counsel to, he said, okay, I'm going to do that. And he was very diligent about it, and I checked with him. And as it turned out, his son, who was very young at the time when this fella came to me, has become the principal of a major school in the area here, is tremendously well thought of, is a great father himself with a couple of kids, and so forth. And I think about that, and I think, well, you know, I'm not going to take credit for it necessarily, but I'm going to say, okay, what I did tell him turned out to be good counsel. Study what the scriptures say about our Heavenly Father, and then also put yourself in a mentorship relationship or a close relationship with somebody who you can see is a good father, has a good relationship with his children. That's a very good thing to do. I mean, all of us, just the same as when you're learning something in the trades, how do you start off? You're an apprentice, you know, then you become a journeyman, and then eventually you become a master at it and whatever else. You don't start off, who starts off as a master? You know, you start off as an apprentice. And so all of us are apprenticing, if you will, to our Heavenly Father. And of course, if you look at verse 13 in that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, let's even make it a more modern translation than that. There are some people who are not interested in being spiritual. They're not interested in being a good father. Hey, I put food on the table, keep the lights on, whatever. That's all I got to do. You know, some people will say that. And so, in a sense, they're not being taught by the Spirit because they won't let the Holy Spirit teach them. They're resisting the truth that the Lord wants to bring to them. So those are spiritual when you see that. Of course, as I need to remind people, there's more than one spirit. There are many people that are very spiritual that are in the wrong spirit. We're talking about being spiritual in the things of the Lord, what the Lord has taught us through Scripture. And of course, when we think about our fathers, none of us have had a father as great as the Heavenly Father, our Father God in heaven, who loves us, who, as Jeremiah 29:11 that we've read through, and also this verse 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we know that the scriptures tell us, it's not an if, it's a fact, that our Heavenly Father loves us. And so, wouldn't we also, and I believe that when I think about my children that I raised, and I was a foster father and stuff, but I don't believe there was a day that my kids didn't believe that I loved them. I believe there were days that they were mad at me, or I was mad at them, you know, or they didn't do right to me, I didn't do right to them, or something like that. But I don't believe there was ever a day that they didn't believe that I loved them. And of course, my belief was that they loved me too. And so these opportunities of things like Father's Day, and we shouldn't just leave it to one day a year. And of course, I think about last year at this time, I was in bad shape in the hospital in Portsmouth. And quite honestly, my darling wife, Kathy, was so kind as to go pick up my daughter and grandson and bring them to the hospital because I said, you know what? I don't know that I'm going to make it. I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it to another Father's Day. I don't know if I'm going to make it to another birthday. And my birthday, you know, was fairly close to Father's Day, too. I don't think I'm going to make it. And so it was wonderful I got to be with my family. You know, even though I felt like I was with my family on my deathbed. But obviously the Lord helped me out along the way. And never once did I question, I mean, even the troubles I was going through. Never once, honestly, did I question whether my Heavenly Father loved me. I didn't feel like He was punishing me for something I had done. I didn't feel that He was, you know, taking it out on me or anything like that. I just believed that these circumstances happen as things do in this fallen world. Things that we don't have control over, just like the same thing. And it really helped me, you know, when I thought about my mother's troubles and how she died in a drunk in a car accident. And my father probably would have died under the influence of alcohol, except he couldn't get any when he was in the hospital. And a lot of the stuff that bothered me, you know, and then it occurred to me, my Heavenly Father chose my parents for me. And I thought, why would He choose them as my, you know, parents? And the question is, I still don't have the answer for that, except to say that the Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, chose those parents for me, and maybe those parents helped me to become the man that I am. And I look back, and all the stuff that was shouldn't have happened, I don't have that as prominent in my memory. And this is something important for all of us, I would suggest today on this Father's Day 2018. Whatever the things that you put out prominently in your mind, it's just like saying what you're looking at. A lot of times people are looking at down and dirty, and that's what they're reporting. I see down and dirty. You know, the Lord says, look up to the hills from whence your salvation comes, and you look up like on a day like today. You look up and what do you see? Butterflies, hummingbirds, all kind of stuff, instead of looking down in the dirt. So looking up to the Heavenly Father and seeing what His intentions are for us gets us through a lot of things. And honestly, I did not think I was going to make it out of that hospital. I really didn't. And here I am a year later. The very thing I wanted to do was to come home. Of course, after I went to what I call the doggy daycare, which is actually the rehab center. I don't know why I called it doggy daycare, but anyway. When I was there, I mean, I had dreams. Dreams that helped me. Dreams the Lord gave me to strengthen me, like I saw myself sitting on this back deck. And the other night when Kathy and I were out there having dinner, and I thought, you know, a year ago, this is the dream that I had, that I would sit in this back deck and I'd look out and I'd see animals going through my yard, and the yard would look beautiful and the trees would be bloomed out and whatever else. And so hanging on to that belief and putting that forward in our minds and putting that in front of our eyes, you know, that's one of the reasons why the Jewish people had what they call phylacteries. That's not prophylactis, by the way. Phylacteries. Phylacteries, they actually put a little scroll and strapped it on their head so it hung right here in front of their eyes. Or they put it on their middle finger so that whatever they went to touch, they had to think about, am I touching something that the Word of God says I can touch? That my Heavenly Father says I can touch? Or with a phylactery right here in their head, which would look kind of strange. But everything that they saw, they had to see it and see that the Word of God was in front of their eyes. And so that made a difference. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody decides, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be down and dirty, sometimes you can talk them out of it, sometimes you can't. But the idea of what we put before us, before our eyes, before our thinking, because whatever a man really believes in his heart, and only the Lord knows what's in our heart, comes to pass because He put it there. And if He put it in our heart, it's a guarantee, it's a promise. Let's pray. Well, God our Father, on this Father's Day, remember most of all, You as our Father. And for those of us that have had earthly fathers that have gone on before us, we know that the fatherhood of God is revealed by Jesus Christ. The whole concept of God as our Father has really only a few specific references in the Old Testament. But God is mainly revealed as God of judgment and a jealous God. You destroyed the world with a great flood, and Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And You have said, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. But even David said, as a psalmist, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. We don't totally understand You, Lord, who could and who would. But we do know this. You love us. You mean us not harm. You mean us good. And You prepared lots of things we don't even have an idea of. We haven't seen it yet, and we haven't heard about it. It's not even in our hearts to imagine it. But we know, because You love us, You prepared these things for us. It's in Your name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, we pray.